tripod sheshoftim aleim k'deira einam tu'unot t'vila. Tripods are like stove grates. I guess they used to have ones with three legs. They're called tripods, right? Stove grates that you put the pan on, or oven racks, or other things that you put a pan on. Someone asked me yesterday, what about a serving tray that you put like bowls of soup on and you carry them to the table? So it's basically, it's a tray or a rack or a grill that you don't put food on. You only put kalim onto, and the food doesn't touch them. They don't need tzvila. Why? Because it's only called klei sudo if it touches the food, just like in the parsha. Remember, the parsha in the Torah was mainly talking about kashrim kalim. And then also the rem is the tovel in kalim. So we see it's only called klei sudo, the kind of things that touch food and need to be kashrim. So therefore, the rule is whatever doesn't touch the food is for sure potter from tefilas kalim. However, aval pedilias tuunos tefilin neishinos le'machal atzmo. The tripods were like stove grates, and pedilias were like barbecue grills. A barbecue grill and a stove grate look the same, but there's a big difference. The stove grate you put pots on, you don't put food on. The barbecue grill you put the food straight on. So the barbecue grill needs tefilah. If you buy a barbecue, you don't have to take the whole barbecue. You have to take the grill and tovel it. You buy a toaster oven, you don't have to take the whole toaster oven. You take the little rack that you put the bread on to toast, and you tovel it. Okay, that is a relatively straightforward. Some of the issues that come up here that are also worth pointing out for the modern day poskim, these are not on this sheet, is number one, can openers. The modern day poskim assume, if you look at the Sefer Tefilas Kalim, can openers don't need tefillah. Why? Because the can openers are made to touch the can, not the food. Now, even though sometimes the can opener will also get dirty because it ends up touching the food, but that's not the function of the can opener. The function of the can opener is not to touch the food. That would just be by accident. The function of the can opener is to touch the can, so can openers don't need toveling. There's a big machlokas about nutcrackers. Nutcrackers are tricky because they touch the shell, not the edible part of the nut. But on the other hand, the shell is part of the nut, right? It grows together. So nutcrackers are very borderline. They touch a shell, which is not clear. Is the shell the food? After all, in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, the shell of the food, a shell will look pretty, because it's a part of the food. On the other hand, maybe it's not clear, because it doesn't touch the part you eat. It only touches the container. So that is a big machlokas. You have to look, if you look into Tefilas Kalim Kochos, I'll bring them all down. Lemaisa, where Shlomo Zalman says, you have to tovel nutcrackers because the shell counts the food. Rav Wasler, Bozo Zatzal, says you don't have to tovel nutcrackers. My Yisrael Willie got nutcrackers once, and he says that really you could be makel, but you might as well tovel without a bracha since it's very easy.
Are there certain foods that don't are considered part of suda?
No, suda means all foods. It doesn't matter if it's a snack, if it's a candy. That's all considered klei suda. Okay, good question. The real controversial piece, and this also I didn't put on the course because just from the Tefilas Kalim Hilchasa book, you can look downstairs if you want, is what if you have a kli where you put food not in a pot or a pan, you put food on silver foil. This can be big halakha l'maisa because sometimes what people do is they have, let's say, an oven, and you put a potato to cook in your oven. You don't put it in a kli, you just put it on silver foil. So the Tefilas Kalim Kuchasa brings down from Shlomo Zalman Orbach that silver foil is not a separate item, is not a separate kli. That if you put your potato down on silver foil in your oven to bake, or even if you put your bread on silver foil in your oven, your challah to warm up, then you have to total the oven racks. Not the whole oven, just the racks. Because the racks are considered kli suda, because the silver foil is not a kli itself, and therefore it's just butthole to the oven racks. So that's a big chumrah. According to Shlomo Zalman, you have to tov, as quoted in the Sefer Tefilas Kalim Kelchasa, you have to tov your oven racks if you cook food on it on silver foil. Not if you always put it in pots and pans, but if you put it on silver foil, you have to tov the oven racks, and the silver foil doesn't count as a hefsek. Right, Willig also passes that way, therefore... we should, or certainly, my minhag is to totally oven racks because you cook on it only using silver foil. However, the minhag of most of the world seems to be not to total the oven racks, not like this with Shlomo Zalman, as quoted in the Sefer Tefilas Kalim, which we have downstairs in the base medrash. Okay, so the Rav Shlomo Zalman says, or Willie Paskins, you should total the oven racks because the silver foil doesn't count. However, it seems to me that most people are makel on this. Okay, so if hey, Sakin shel shchita. Here's an issue which I promise you to get back to in Sifhei, and lo and behold, I will keep my promise. What about, this is a question of Klei Suda, what about a kli used for food preparation, but before the Suda? Two things are very, very clear. And again, by Suda, to answer Isaac's question again, I don't necessarily mean formal meal, I mean eating. Right? It doesn't matter if it's a snack or a meal or whatever it is. So, Caleb used at the Suda are for sure chayiv that we mentioned. Caleb used right before the Suda, meaning after using them, the food is ready, like pots and pans, right? A pot, you can't eat out of a pot, and you don't put edible food in a pot. But when you finish using the pot, it's ready to eat, right? After you cook something in a pot, it's now ready to eat. That's for sure called a Klei Suda. No question about that. The controversy is, what about kalim that you use, and even when you finish using them, it's still not ready to eat? What about kalim that you use not samach l'suda? Meaning, again, it doesn't matter what time you use it, it just matters what it means is that after using these kalim, food is still not edible. What about kalim you use on food that's, even after you use these kalim, it's not edible yet? You have to do more things to get it ready for a suda. So that's clearly clay ohol nefesh, meaning you wouldn't be allowed to take it as collateral for your loan. But is it called clay suda because it's not used near the suda? Or does that not make a difference? So that is the discussion right here in the Shulchan Aruch. Says Shulchan Aruch, hey, sakin shel shchito, sakin shel mashitim bo ad derma, a shchita knife, right? That's a great example. Use the shecht, and then you can't eat the food until you do a lot of other things to it. Or a skinning knife that you skin, you take off the hide of the animal with. You have to take off the hide of the animal to eat the meat, but then you have to do a lot of other things also. Yesh v'shomer she'en utzarech tevila. Okay, yeshomer mitzpater. Yeah, yeshomer mitzpater. That's the only yeshomer he quotes. That means that he's mekel. The mechaber is mekel. Anything you use before it's ready to eat, and even after you use it, it's still not ready to eat, is pater. That's not called klei suda. However, the Rama says v'yesh chokin. No, it's a machlokes rishonim. The tov latov lo lo bracha. And therefore, the Rama says the proper psak is to consider the suffix and to tovel it. Excuse me, without a bracha. Okay, so that's how Ashkenazim paskin, that if you have a kli that you use before the food is ready to eat, you tovel it without a bracha.
I don't understand how this jives. You said yesterday that Moshito's whole kalim in the rice is in the rice, and I'm not sure about the definition. Here it's just tov.
Okay, so the real answer is, because if you look at, I don't want to get into it, who is on each side, you see it's very lopsided, even in Doresas. Even in Doresas, you know, it depends who's on each side, and there are more and older and more chasher rishonim on the Mekel side than the Machra side, so that's why he just says, tov l'tov lo v'lo bracha. You know, if you look, for example, the Beragola, what does he say? It's a Mordechai versus a Tashmetz. Okay, so you could add more things to them, but still, the majority opinion seems to be Mekel, but nonetheless, Ashkenazim say you should consider something Tovah than a Bracha. And here's where it gets a little complicated. And we have many Kalim in our house that we use before food is ready to eat. Like, for example, a coffee grinder. Right? You grind the coffee, you still can't do anything until you cook it. Right? Or we don't really have shchita knives in our house so much, but a coffee grinder, a cookie cutter, right? You make the shape of the cookies, you still have to bake them before you eat them. No one ever makes shapes and then eats the cookies raw. You have to bake them first. So we still have various, you know, sometimes we have a mixer for dough, right? That we use it, or a rolling pin, right? Once you roll it out, you still can't eat it until you bake it. So we have many of those kind of kalim in our house, even though we don't shecht in our house. So the Ashkenazim would say, you have to tovel without a bracha. Then the Aha, so then it gets more complicated, though, because then he says, Hamar zolim shemetaknen b'hem ha-matzos, the metal things that you fix the matzos with. Here, it seems to be that he does not mean the rolling pins of the matzos. It seems to be here he means the, I don't know how you say it in English, the redlers. Those things that you make holes in the matzos with. You ever see the matzah bakery, right? It seems to be that's what he's talking about. Einam shechem tuyla, you don't have to toll them. Why? Because you use them and you still have to bake the matzahs before they're edible. Think, okay, end. End of this part. So, the, sorry. This creates a big mystery among the mafarshim. Hold on, the Ramah just said you should be machmir both ways as a suffix and tovel without a bracha. And then he just says, you don't have to tovel them. So which is it? Is it that it's yitbo below bracha, or is it potter? The Ramah associates himself from one line to the next. It's very peculiar.
Not similar at all.
Aha, so why are they not similar?
Because you can eat basar raw.
Okay, that's one interesting shot. You can eat raw meat, but you can't eat raw matzah. But it's not so pashut because, well, in the time of the Gemara, they said they could eat some meat raw. Okay, so maybe you could say that shot. If we ask here the stira, what's the stira? The stira is one line when it comes to the sakin shel shtita. Says the Ramah, Yitbol, B'li Bracha. But when it comes to the Barzalim, Shemitaknim, Bahem Hamatzos, he says Potter. So it's a spirit. Is it Potter, or is it that it's property, Machmer, Tovel, without a Bracha? So Zev wants to suggest, I haven't seen this in the Torah, but maybe I haven't looked far enough. Could be someone would say it. He wants to suggest that, because raw meat is more edible than raw matzah. Okay, could be. Could be. You could say, here, raw meat is barely edible. The Gemara had ba'umtza, but raw matzah is inedible. Okay, the shat says, well, first of all, the taz and the grah say a different shat. The Taz and the Gras say the Ramah is a little locked off. It's a bit of a dachuk pshat in the Ramah, I must admit. Say the Taz and the Gras. He says this is the real psak. This is just theoretically ledas hamikivim. Really, the Ramah meant you should be tovel below bracha considered a suffix. When he said the barzalim that you fix the matzahs with or putter, he just meant according to those who say potter, but really you should tovel without a bracha. Okay, I admit it's a dachuk pshat in the Ramah, even though the Taz and Bra are convinced that that is the right pshat. But really, yitbo b'li bracha. The shach says, no, that can't be. The Ramah said, this is yitbo b'lo bracha, and this is potter. He can't just be speaking theoretically, but not mean what he says, right? The Ramah couldn't have been that unclear. And the shach says, it depends on this. He says this knife could theoretically be used for ready-to-eat food. The shchita knife, we wouldn't normally use a shchita knife to cut a loaf of bread and make sandwiches, but you could, and therefore it's more chomer. Because even though it's only used for inedible food, you could use it as a suda, as opposed to those things that you hold the matzahs with. There's no possible use for it at a suda at edible food. Like, there's nothing you can do with it. No one can ever use that. This could never be used for ready-to-eat food. And therefore, the Ramah was only makar by something that you could theoretically use at your meal. But something you couldn't theoretically use at the meal, he was mako. Meaning that if you have a cookie cutter, I don't know, do you ever use a cookie cutter like a regular meal? So then you'd be mako. But or a rolling pin, I don't know if you ever use a rolling pin at a meal for like food you're ready to eat, so you'd be mako. If it was a metal rolling pin. However, if you have, let's say, a knife that you only use for raw chicken, then you'd still be makar because you could use it for cooked chicken, etc. That's the shach.
very, this example is very difficult for some Allah who is in the opposite of something which Pete has considered.
That's what the Bras says for the Shach.
In Tishat Hayamin, they hid the Shechita knife.
The Bras says back to the Shach, no, you could never use your Shechita knife at the table because there's it would be it's Muktzamach Muskashman Kiss. You would.
Okay.
Okay, but the Shach says theoretically. The Urcha Shulchan has a fourth Shach. The Urcha Shulchan says that a Shechita knife is a. Or let's say even better. I'm going to say important versus not important. It says, what's the meaning of the shechita knife and the things you fix the matzahs with? The shechita knife serves a crucial function. You can't eat without a shechita knife. Therefore, even though it's not ready to eat yet, still, it's without that, you wouldn't have any food, right? Rashi's one shout, and the shechita knife is called a ma'achelis, because you can't eat without a shechita knife. So this serves a crucial function. While the thing you make holes in the matzahs with, there are good reasons we make holes in the matzahs. But you can make matzahs without that, right? It's a minor function. It's a minor function. Why do we make holes in the matzahs? Because why do we make holes in the matzahs? Right, it helps that it shouldn't become chomish, so there shouldn't be nafuach, right? You shouldn't have air bubbles inside. But I'm saying you can still bake the matzahs without it. So therefore, he says it depends. If it's a minor function, then you Rambam would be made help. If it's a really crucial function, you'd be machmer. Halacha lemaisa ad hayom hazeh. They're different poskim. You go on the internet, you go to the OU, OK, Star K, everyone, you get different psakim among these different options. Halacha lemaisa, it would seem that since we're not exactly sure which of these pshatim in the Rambam is correct, and it's a big mess, therefore the most proper thing to do would be to tovel without a bracha, and that way you're yotze all the deos, and you don't get into a machlokis. Clearly, if there are other sudden lakel, that would be a different story. Coffee grinders, for example. So I think the Rebbe Kivaker here says, well, the coffee grinder, according to the Shach, is part of the gamri, because it's used for coffee that's not edible yet, and you would never use it for something that you're about to eat. According to the Taz, you tovel without a bracha, because he says you tovel everything without a bracha. Halacha l'maisa, certainly if one can, one should try to be machmir, just because we're not exactly sure what the Ramah was, and that's how you explain. Well, he says it can, you should be machmir, and just tovel everything without a bracha, and that way you don't get into machlokas.
Say the same thing, but
yes.
For the star is because it's motzimi de yisro.
It could be that's the Chalal or HaShulchan, but again, you don't know what this far is. You could say L'chorah, but you can't really know. Okay, the end of the Ramah says, V'chein kisa shekopen al pas lefoso, aval kisa k'neir tzarech tvila. Likewise, you don't have to tovel the cover you put on the bread when you bake it. We usually don't cover our bread when we bake it, but maybe he's referring to some sort of what they call a Dutch oven. Like sometimes if you put your bread on a stove, you have to bake your bread in an enclosed surface, an oven, right? You can't just put a bread on top of a barbecue. So sometimes, I guess, they would put their bread on a stove and then cover it and make a little oven in there. Or a bread maker usually has
a little metal tin with it under it.
But they what?
They have those lids.
Aha, okay. So the lid that's on top of your bread when you bake your bread doesn't need to be tovel. The reason behind it seems to be that it doesn't touch your bread. It keeps the heat inside, but since it doesn't touch your bread, it doesn't need to be tovel. Even though the Rama is sticking it into Sif Dal, hey, and not Sif Dalid.
Why is the Kisa
Kidera? So the Gra explains, because what's the difference between baking bread? And remember, back in Simon Tzadi Beis and etc., and a little bit in Simon Kof Ches, when you bake bread, the bread doesn't touch the cover, so it's okay. But when you cook in a kedera, all the zeya goes up and condenses on the cover and comes back down, and all the food does touch the cover. Because the hevel, remember, if you cover kedera, it's like mixing everything, so all the food's touching the cover. Therefore, in a kedera, when you're cooking things in water or liquid, then it's considered to be the covers touching the food. So pot covers, you tovel with a bracha. However, covers of dry things where there's not a lot of zeya, then you would say it's not touching the cover and you would not have to tovel it. Likewise, if you have, let's say, covers of storage containers, which you always keep right side up, and the cover is not meant to touch the food, then you wouldn't have to tovel that cover, let's say in a plastic storage container, with a metal screw-on cover. But you're not supposed to let the food touch the cover. That's just in case it falls or something. But the function of the cover is just to keep out dirt. Then you wouldn't have to total the metal cover, and if the plastic in the metal cover, you would be putter, because that would be like the cover of baking bread. However, if you have a cover, a pot cover, which is a very common thing people have, then you have to total it. What? A crock pot cover, you'd have to total.
Let's say you have a porcelain crock pot glass.
Yes, you would make a bracha on the lid. This Rambam is not misafik. What? It's the ikar kli of the lid. Okay. Vav. Kli eishish lo chashukin shel barzel. This, of course, should remind us of Sif Aleph. A wooden kli that has rings of metal. Like, you know, you ever seen the old days? Like, you could see a picture of a wooden barrel, but it has a metal ring around it that holds it together. And not that it would fall apart right away without metal ring, but eventually it would fall apart without that metal ring that strengthens it. So, shema midimo, so that's mamid, right? Meaning, what keeps this barrel together? This metal ring. This metal ring is very important. It's mamid the barrel. It makes the barrel stay together. Einotan tfila, it is still putter. Okay, this is a big machlokes that we mentioned earlier. That we mentioned earlier, the between Tosfos and the Maharam Rutenberg, and we mentioned this, the Shach, do you go by what part touches the food, or what part is an important part of the kli? So, this is a fundamental machlokus. What if you have a kli 8, but a mamid and a mamid of mateches that doesn't touch the food? So Tosa says that plisuda is defined by touching the food. All we care about is what touches the food in Tfilas Kalim. That's the definition of plisuda. Why? Because when the Torah tells us, well, you have to like kasher things and total them in a mikvah. Since you kasher things that touch food, that implies that the definition of klisuda for purpose of tefillas kelim is what touches the food. However, the Maharam says no, we'll go by the rules of Kol Darkula. And he says we follow general Tuma Vitara rule of Hole Achar Hamamid. In Tuma Vitara, if you would have a klicheris, although the examples are usually slightly different because this wouldn't actually work technologically, you'd have a klicheris, but it had a mamid of, it was held together, or it was, you packed up the holes and made it into a kli with metal, it would have the Tuma of a metal kli. Usually they're examples, it doesn't work so well, their examples were more, you have a glass kli that broke and then you held it together with metal, which I guess would work better. Then you go by the mamid. So that's the question. Do you go by the mamid here? The metal ring is holding the wooden barrel together. Or do you go by what touches the food? So the Mechaber here clearly says, the Mechaber clearly goes by what's touching the food. The Rama, since he doesn't argue here, Minasam, right? Agrees with the Mechaber. Right, that we follow Tosos and we go by what touches the food. In Tfilas Kelim, we care what touches the food. We don't care about the normal rules of Mamid or what's the majority or what's the coding. We only care what touches the food. The Taz and the Gra right here agree with him. If we remember from Sif Aleph, who disagrees with this? The Shach. The Shach says, Suffolk, it's a suffolk, and you should tovel without a bracha. He doesn't say bevadai we go by the mamid and you tovel with a bracha. No, he says masuffolk. We shouldn't necessarily be on one side. We should consider it a suffolk. So whenever there's a mamid of metal, but it doesn't touch the food, say maybe it's potter, the metal doesn't touch the food, but maybe it's chayet, so the metal is mamid to kli, and therefore you should tovel without a bracha. That's the shach right here in Siman Yud Beis. Hitaka points out that Yosef sounds like him. Obviously, the Mechaber changed his mind, and the Beis Yosef, he sounded like he wants to be Machmir, and then by the time he got to the Shulchan Aruch, he was Machmir Lohakel, and took one side of the Machlokes, but the Shach says it's a Suffolk, the modern day Poskim, and all the modern day Halachasfar are Machmir, like all the Achronim, against the Shach, even though sometimes we're Choshish for the Shach, In this case, the Tefillas Kehillim book and etc. are machriya against the shach that in Hilchos Tefillas Kehillim we go by what touches the food, not by the normal rules of Tumah V'Tahara. So even though if you have this barrel, you want to know in Tumah V'Tahara, you would consider it a metal kli and it would have all the chumras. We know there are more chumras in Tumah V'Tahara of metal compared to wood. But when it comes to Tefillas Kehillim for food, then we just go by touch the food. If the metal doesn't touch the food, Shalom al Yisrael, then you are in the clear. Okay. Similar machlokas comes up in what's a modern day application? What do we have? Do we have any kelim that are non-metal and that are like held together by metal? What? I mean, theoretically, what if you had like a wood kli that was screwed together and held together with metal screws? I don't know if we really have many of those in our kitchen. I mean, we have lots of those in furniture, right? Yes, right? But I don't know how many of those we have for clay soup diet.
Like a wooden spoon. Maybe they have metal in them to hold them.
Do they?
I don't know.
No, they don't.
I have no clue.
They don't. It's a good question. I don't know. I have to think about it. But if we do find such an example, then we'll know what to do with it. It's a good question.
They might have serving pieces that are like that.
Like what?
That have a bunch of little dishes inside in the metal frame that it stands on. We had something like that back in America.
Yeah, but in that case, it's clear that they're two separate kelim. Yeah. So then for sure it would be potter, because the metal was not mamet. The metal is a separate kli.
Right.
Like, if I put this fender on the desk doesn't have to be mamet until retire. They're two separate things. Mamet is only if they're made into one kli. So, okay, I'm not sure what the case is, but if you do come up with such a case, you'll know the halacha. Vav.
The barrels of one kli.
What?
Metal barrels of wine,
that's what we discussed in the Sefer Aleph, because they're only storage kelim, but l'chora would be machmer and total them. Yeah, because the Rebbe Kivager brings down a machlokes about storage kelim. Even though some people are mekel, it's preferable to be machmer and total them without a bracha. I don't know if people keep wine in metal barrels, do they? Okay, great. So I don't know what they do. I don't know what the actual wineries do. Maybe there's someone on the makel opinion about storage utensils. Yeah, so maybe they're a bit sorry if they're, you know, but I'm not sure what they do. It's a good question. But certainly, it's not pashut. Okay, Zion, koshal kesef mechover the eighth sort tefillah. This seems to be the opposite. You have a metal, a silver becher, right, a silver cup, but it's attached to wood. So it sort of seems like it's a wooden mamet, right? So here the mechaber says you need to tovel, right? The mechaber says you need to tovel. So let us just put this on the board. What the case we have here? Here we have a kli mateches, and the mamet is 8, and it doesn't touch the food. So this should be exactly the opposite. What should we expect the mechaber to say? We should expect the mechaber to say, we only care what touches the food. We don't care about mamet. And therefore, in this case, you should be chayiv and tovel with a bracha. And that's exactly what the mechaber does say, right? He says Torah Tefillah. Whenever he says Torah Tefillah, that means even with a bracha. So the mechaber says, and here the gra and the taz, if you look inside, say exactly, it makes perfect sense. So he says, yitbol bibracha. Because we don't care about mamet in tefillas kelim, we only care about what touches the food. What does the shach say? The shach says yitbol bibracha. So the shach is l'shitasei, he's mesupak, whether we go by the mamet or we go by touches food. So we tova without a bracha. What does the shach do with this particular line in the mechaber? He could have said, I disagree with this line in the mechaber. But the mechaber is quoting a smag, and instead he says, you know, I agree with this line in the smag. The shach says, he's talking about the wood's not mamet. The wood's just like a nice decorative attachment. But if the wood would be mamet, then you would tova without a bracha. And the reason he says that is because he wants the chap smag on his side also.
Mechover.
No, you can read mechover two ways. One way you read mechover is you have like a silver cup and there's no bottom, it will just fall. And you have a metal, a wooden base that keeps it standing up. Mamet. But the Shach read the word mechuber as, says the Shach, the cup is full, it can work by itself. It just happens to be attached to some for some decorative reason to wood. So the Shach is a, meaning, it doesn't matter, the Shach could have just said I disagree with the Mechaber. But he didn't want to disagree with the Mechaber because each Mechaber is a new Rishon, and he doesn't want to disagree with all the Rishonim, right? This Mechaber, as we mentioned, is a smack, and therefore he doesn't want to disagree with the smack, so he says, I can agree with this Mechaber. He's talking about it's not Mamed. When it's Mamed, you're talking without a bracha. Halacha L'maisa is an interesting psak of the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, the Tazo here also quotes a Lavush, but okay, you have to look at the Lavush inside. It's not, it's a little confusing if you're reading the Taz to really understand what the Lavush meant. He didn't really seem to mean anything of Chodesh. The Aruch HaShulchan gives an interesting hakra. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, in this case, you should tovel without a bracha. He says, you know what? L'inyan bracha, just be extra machmir. If the mamet is wood, then tovel without a bracha. Just to be on the safe side. So even though the ikker, the mainstream sock is that we don't care about the mamet, we care about touching the food, nonetheless, when it comes to safek brachos, the Aruch HaShulchan is machmir. Meaning, when it comes to tefillas kelim, he's not machmir. When it comes to safek brachos, he's machmir. Okay, could be, if you want to know the svar, either he's more machmir in safek brachos than on tefillas kelim, because safek brachos at all is more chomer than tefillas kelim. Or it could be, because maybe he's choshesh, that maybe you're only chayiv if the mamet is metal and the metal touches the food. So therefore, it could be that you're potter both ways, but whatever it is, Halacha L'maaseh says the Aruch HaShulchan, the Iker Psak, if you go by the touch of the food, but if metal touches the food, and what is the Mamed? Just to be on the safe side, don't make a bracha, or tovel it with some other kli, and make a bracha on the other kli. Continuing in the Ramah, Rechaim shel pilpulin shebesocha etzeis barzel kavua, shetochen in both tzarech tvila, a pepper mill, right? Pepper mill is for sure kli suda, right? When you mill the pepper, again, it's not like a coffee mill, which goes back to sefei. A pepper mill means you grind the pepper and you straight onto your food, right? You ever been to fancy restaurants or fancy homes where you grind the pepper right onto your food? Or in any case, you grind the pepper and it's ready to eat at the table, right? So, how are pepper mills made? They're made of wood, right? You don't have metal pepper mills. They're made of wood and there's a metal blade. That's the general way. I think even nowadays I've seen a lot like that. Needs to be toveled. Needs to be toveled. Because the metal part touches the food, it's the blade, and even though only the blade is metal, but the blade is the actual grinding cutting part. That's the main part of the kli, and that's metal, so you need to tovel it. This would be similar to nowadays you have, let's say you have a food processor, right? The food processor is all plastic, except for the blades, which are metal, because just technologically, like the you need metal blades, because plastic doesn't cut, doesn't chop. So those metal blades, you don't need to tovel the whole food processor, but you need to tovel those metal blades. And if you'd have a food processor that didn't come apart, you need to tovel the whole thing because of the metal blade inside.
Do you also have the not being useful at the table? But I guess maybe the blades can.
No, because you could use the food processor. First of all, it's an interesting question. Sometimes you use the food processor for food that is ready to eat as soon as you put in the food processor. Yeah, like people make like... sometimes people make carrots or salad, or you know, they make strawberry smoothies or something in the food processor. So you for sure could often use it for things that are ready to eat at the table, and even if you only use it for things before you cook it, midei safek lo yitzanu. Because he probably didn't think that. He never argued and said like the Shach. When did he ever say like that? Ah, because you mean in Sif Aleph he was Medoyik like the Shach. So the Aruch HaShulchan. So where is he told like the Shach?
In Sif
Hey.
When he said,
Tov Lo. That was not talking about the issue of Mamed and what touch the food.
The Rama agreed with the Mechaber regarding the Mamed?
Yeah, I think the Rama agrees. It's a big machlokus, because in Sif Aleph, he sounds like he might agree with the Shach, that we don't care what touches the food. But the Achronim, some of the Aruch HaShulchan says, it's not really a mochach diuk in Sif Aleph, and he prefers to assume that the Rama holds that we care what touches the food. Okay, b'chein v'ashpecho shel barzel, likewise you have funnels of metal, or brazos shel barzel, or faucets of metal, or taps of metal, I guess we should say, b'shar matros, or iron and other metal, kulam tzirkan tvila, any metal kalim need tvila. V'davgan, the chidashir is, even though it just flows through them, that's still considered kli suda, it needs tvila. V'davgan, she'ikar kli shal matros, that's only if the ikar kli is metal. Avolim ikar kli shal etzrak shema atbar zol kavua bo, but if the ikar kli is wood, there's just a little metal in it, hold the eshel shtam shal lo barzel ein tzar tvila, aval kli amatukim b'sedo shal barzel v'loi sedo shal eshel shtam shal v'in name tzar tvila. Here we see, he's not like the shach, what does he say here? He says that if you have a kli that has a little metal, but that metal is not important to the functioning, it would work without the metal, then you don't have to tovel it. So if you have a kli that has a little metal, maybe it's decorative, maybe it's just, you know, for whatever reason, but it works without the metal. You have an example?
On the wine bottle.
The what?
You would put those things on wine bottles to make them pour easier, you know, like...
But aren't those mostly metal? That's mashpechos, that's a funnel. That's a funnel of metal, like a tap of metal, that needs to be told.
No.
But the whole kli is metal. That's not what he means. He means you can make a whole kli, and it has a little metal, but it's not necessary for the function. Maybe it's just decorative, the metal. You know, maybe it's just, you know, a hook so you can hang it easily. No, but it's not necessary to the functioning. So if you have a whole kli and there's metal that's not necessary to the functioning, then you don't have to total it. However, if you have metal that's necessary to the functioning, like let's say it's held together with screws or nails of metal, then he says, if they're on the inside, you need to tovel it because they touch the food. The diyuk, of course, then on the outside, you don't need to tovel it, which would show he holds like the machaber against the shach. So if you have something with what the Rama is saying, if you have a kli with a little metal, if you have a wood kli with a little mateches, then says the Rama, if the mateches, if the metal is not necessary, cutter. If the metal is necessary or mamid, right? Either it's mamid the whole kli, or it's not necessarily hold together the whole kli, but it's necessary to the functioning of the kli, like maybe it's the part that cuts or something, then he says it depends. If the metal touches the food, then chayav. If not, the diok is, brackets means a diok, potter. That's what we see. He's not like the shach. Why? What's a diok? He said, if you have a little metal, let's read it again. In ikar kli shel etz, rak shema at barzel kavuvo, if the ikar kli is wood, there's a little metal in it, hold the etzel shem shel barzel, since you can use it without the metal, ain sar tefila, it doesn't need tefila, the metal's not necessary, it's not important. If it's just decorative, or just for hanging it, or just for, you know, some side function. However, kli that's put together with metal nails or screws, and that's what holds the whole kli together, right? That's necessary, that's ma'amid. So without that piece of metal, it wouldn't work. That's necessary. If the metal's on the inside and touches the food, it needs tefila. The diuk is, but if the metal's on the outside, even if it's ma'amid, it doesn't need tefila, because he holds against the shach that we go by what touches the food.
Very confusing. Isn't it just simple if the Rama holds it, anything that's interesting to touch the food? Why does he have to go into it?
Because even if there's metal in the kli that touches the food, if it's not serving an important, if it's not necessary, then you're still potter.
Even if it touches the food?
Even if it touches the food. If it's not necessary, it's still potter. Let's say you have, like, little metal decorations on the inside of your bowl.
Where does it say that?
He says, Avalu ikra kli yishal eitz rak shema'at barzel kavuavo ho'ol v'esher l'shtam shal bloa barzel ein tzarech tvila. And how do I know that even if it's on the inside, by contrast to the next line? So if you have a kli, which just has some decorative metal that's not important, or some metal that's, like, for some, whatever reason is there, not necessary for using the kli, even if it touches the food, you're still potter. That's the chiddush of this Rama. Okay, I don't know how often that comes up in our modern-day kalim, I must admit. Like, how many of our modern-day kalim have, like, metal, a little metal in them? Not a lot of them, I don't think. That I know of. Yeah, I don't know of a lot of kalim with a little metal. Okay. But maybe it'll come off. Chet. What?
The taps in your sink.
The taps in your sink. Why do we have to total the taps? That's what Americans call faucets. In the sink, which are made of metal. They're mechaber l'karka, they're not kelim, but we saw that. I think the real reason is because we hold like the Shav Yaakov that whatever's mechaber l'karka is not told to kli.
You have the ones which extend out.
They're still mechaber l'karka. They just extend.
What was he talking? He was talking about, let's say, you have like a Shabbos.
Oh, what kind of tap was he talking about? They've not running water in his days. You ever seen the Westerns, like there's a barrel of whiskey and you stick a tap in it? Right? It's not Makobra Lakarka. They don't have running water. You're spoiled.
What?
It's not a big
Viennese.
No, it's not. You put it in a barrel. That's what a tap means. Okay. You know what he was talking about? Something very similar to those things you put in the wine bottles nowadays. Or not similar, but parallel. Okay, chet. Here we get into big issues. Chet. Hashoel o socher klimi over kochavim. I'm going to get a chance. If you borrow or rent a kli from a goy, eino tzar tvila, you don't have to tovel it. Okay, this is pretty clear. The Gemara says only if you buy kelim from a guy like Maisa Shahaya, like the case in the Gemara, in the Chumash, they bought the kelim, they didn't buy the kelim from a guy. They permanently acquired the kelim from a guy, right? It's claimed again, they acquired it as spoils of war. So if you acquire something as spoils of war, or more common nowadays, you buy it or get it as a present. It doesn't matter if you pay money or not, it just matters that you acquire it permanently from a guy, you have to tovel it. If you borrow it from a guy, you don't have to tovel it. Okay, the logic seems to be parallel in some cases we'll see later, that the whole point is to get out of the Tum of the Goyim and give it the Kedusha of Yisrael. If it's borrowed from a guy, it's stuck in the Tum of the Goyim. You can't make it Kedusha of Yisrael if it's borrowed from a guy. Therefore, since you can't do it anyway, the Torah didn't require you to do something impossible. And the Torah didn't want to say you're not allowed to borrow kelim from a guy. No, if you own a kli, you have to own it right, and you have to do it the right way. If you borrow a kli from a guy, maybe it's a guyish kli. You can use it, it's not, you know, it doesn't have any condition. So therefore, you're potter. Aval, in Yisrael, if a Jew bought it from a guy and lent it to his friend, let's say someone buys a kli, bought it from a guy, all our kelim were buying from a guy. Again, we're assuming that even if they're made by corporations, that's still called a guy, because they're guyish corporations. So all our kelim are borrowed from a guy. So are bought from a guy. So it means is if I buy a new pot and I didn't tovel it yet and you borrow it from me, right? Or let's say someone who's not from, a non-from Jew buys a pot and they don't tovel it because they don't know about toveling kelim, you want to borrow it from them, or maybe you want to borrow their pot. They buy a drinking glass and you want to just borrow from them to take a drink of water, right? Then, ton tvila, then you're not allowed to. It needs to be totaled. You can't have a drink of water. Shefar nischayev yadarishon. Why? When the first Jew bought it, it was chayev. So since when the first Jew bought it from the guy, it became chayev, he can't use it without totaling it, and you also can't use it without totaling it. So hold that thought. Okay, could you hold that thought for 3 minutes? Ton tvila, shefar nischayev biyad harishon. Okay, so that's halach. If you borrow it from a guy, you're potter. But if a Jew buys it from a guy, then now is he chayef. Whoever borrows it from him inherits his chayef. What? The assumption here is... The assumption is that it's not usher to hold on to non-total kelim, right? Let's say you bought a pot from a guy. Did anyone ever say, you're doing an aveir, you better go total it right away? No, you total it before you're ready to use it. No one said you have to rush to total it that day. Right? Sometimes people, they buy, you know, drinking glasses, and, you know, they don't really need them yet, so it sits for a few weeks before they get around to tovelling them. You buy a new pot for Pesach, and it's Purim time, it sits for a few weeks. It's not usher to hold on to a kli without tovelling it. However, it is usher to use a kli without tovelling it. Why is it usher? If you just look in the Makoros, number 9 and 10 seems to be a big machlokas. The Or Zeruah implies, number 9, it seems to be a das yochid though, says, Kelim chadashim for nishtam shav klali, nami kelim nishtam shav nishtam shav nizil olibnam, v'hash to polpikul ish shayim v'yam chadashim damim. If you buy new kelim from a guy, your old kelim, kash them, but filach you buy tefila, you still need to tovel them. Ein zekim zeres akasov, the asar achman nishtam shav below tefila. He implies that the Torah asked using without tefila, that it's an isur d'oraisa, without getting to Zev's point, I know, that it's an isur d'oraisa to use the kelim without toveling. It sounds from him like, if I buy a fork in the shuk, right? Buy a fork in the shuk. I'm buying it from a Jew in the shuk, but he bought it from a factory in China, directly or indirectly, right? He bought it from a wholesaler, bought it from a factory in China. And I use that fork without totaling it, that's an issur d'oraisa. I'm not allowed to use it without totaling it. I'm allowed to let it sit there, but I'm not allowed to use it without totaling it.
You own it and use it, but there's a difference between someone using it but not owning it.
Okay, hold that thought. Says the Bi'ur HaLacha, though, number 10, he says, the davka b'klitami yishtem yishtam shal tshuva yochleno avdi surah sha'achal tshuva tmeya. She'en ken kli chadash yam yishtam shal b'lo tzvil. He's explaining why they might have made gzeira on tamei kelim, not, you're not allowed to wait for a long time before you tovel them, because you might do an isser. Why didn't they make gzeira on, like, new kelim for food that you're not allowed to wait? Because tamei kelim, you might do a big isser and eat truma and b'chayim mis v'dei shemayim. But if I use a non-tovel kli, the food doesn't become trace. That's at the very end of the sentence. It doesn't make the food trace. It's usher to use. It doesn't trace off the food. The Abagab, the Abdi Sur Mashim Shamzol Tvila. And even though it's usher to use without Tvila, everyone agrees it's usher to use a kli even once without Tvila. Everyone agrees. Some Amoratsim think it's mutter to use a kli once without Tvila. Not true. You're not even allowed to use a kli only even once without Tvila. Even if tefillah is kelim midoraisa, the issur to use it once before you get around to toveling it is only midrabanan. That's what the Bi'ur HaLacha is machriya based on most rishonim against the Ozeruah. So there's shitas yachna the Ozeruah. It's usher doraisa to even take one drink of water out of a glass without toveling. The Mishnah Berurah assumes not that way. You're chayim to tovel it midoraisa, but if you want to take one drink of water and then tovel it tomorrow, then that's only, you want to take one drink of water and then abandon it, that's only an isser d'rabbanan, to take one drink of water meanwhile, or to use it a little. So therefore, over what we're dealing with here, if you're just borrowing something to briefly use it, it's not a chash of an isser d'oraisa, but a chash of an isser d'rabbanan, that even temporarily until you get around to toveling it, you're not allowed to use it, but nonetheless, it's clearly usher. That's clear at the end of the sermon. Also, it is usher to use a kli even once, whether d'oraisa, das yachid, or midrabanan, mainstream sock. It is usher to use a kli even once without toveling it. You buy glasses, drinking glasses, you can't take one drink of water without toveling it, and if you do, you're doing an isser. The water's kosher, but you, as a gavra, didn't isser. If you buy silverware, new silverware, and you just take the spoon and eat one bowl of Cheerios or bowl of chicken soup, the food's still kosher, but you did an isser by using a spoon without totaling it. Okay, let's get back to what if it's your... you know, this is not a crazy case. What if I have an aunt who's not from, and I go to her house, and I don't necessarily eat chicken soup there. But she gives me a glass of water. She gives me a glass of Coca-Cola. She gives me, you know, Cheerios with milk and with a metal spoon. Or what if I go to some place maybe they are from, but they're not so learned, and they know about keeping kosher, but they don't know about tovelin kalim. So can I can I eat? I can eat the food. The food's kosher. If you cook food in an untoval pot, it's still kosher. But you can't use the kalim, so it's very nice. The food's kosher. She pours Coke into a glass, the Coke is still kosher. But I can't drink it out of that glass if that's using the glass. Everyone agrees that it's still kosher. If you cook chicken soup in an untoval pot, it's kosher. If you pour but you can't use that pot anymore, you have to transfer it to a toval pot. If I pour Coke into a glass, even if I let it sit 24 hours, whatever the case may be, that wasn't toveled, it's still kosher, but I have to pour it into a paper cup before drinking it. So the question is, should I use these kelim? This is a big deal in the poskim. So, let's just read on a little. V'yesh misha omer, we have to get into a side point and then we'll come back to this. V'yesh misha omer. Shem lo lachor rishon l'tzar suda el alachto klofim kayotze bo ein tzarech lehat bilo. So here is a great kula. Again, when the Mechaber says Yish Misha Omer without quoting another opinion, that means he agrees with it. This is Nagel Sashimi. If the first guy bought it to chop little cloth and cards, in those days their cards were made of wood, right? To chop wood. The first guy bought it for non-food use, so he didn't need to topple it. It's not a klisuda. I can borrow it from him and use it for food. So for example, if you bought scissors for cutting paper, I can borrow it from you and cut chicken with it. It's not a kli suda, because the owner doesn't use it for suda. Right? Meaning the owner gets to define what kind of kli it is. If the owner bought it for cutting paper, then it's not a kli suda. And even if I borrow it and use it to cut chicken, it's still not a kli suda, because I'm not the owner. Or if the owner bought I don't know how often these things really come up, right? Most things are sort of obvious what you're using it for, except for knives. You know, but again, it could be also. You bought a knife, and this knife you only use for... what do people use knives for? I don't know, you use knives for also for cutting paper. And I borrow it to cut my sandwich. So that's okay, because it's not a kli suda, because the owner doesn't intend for it to be used for a suda. Add the Rama, avol rishon also sham l'tzarif suda, afilu derech harai, v'lo tefila afi shalacho l'tzarif klafim. Says, but the owner cannot even use it occasionally for food purposes. Even if he bought it to cut paper or to cut wood, because if the owner used it even once for food purposes, he's showing that he lets it be a kli suda, and now he's chayev to tovel it. The Rama and the chain, this should be obvious, is the next word im tno. The chain im, it's a little fudged out in mine, but I think it's a im tno. Yisrael sheni yerishon sar suda sar tefila menash yada sheni. It's obvious. If you buy scissors to cut paper and I buy from you to cut chicken, then obviously I have to tovel it. Because now I'm the owner and I'm making a kli suda. So the kula of this Rama, we'll see how this might be very significant. The kula of this Rama. The kula, what's the kula of this Rama? The kula of this Rama is very limited. Only if the owner never uses it for food, and it's really kula machaber, I borrow it for food, then utter, according to the machaber and the Rama. Why? Because it's not a klisuda, because the owner never uses it for food.
Correct.
What?
Correct.
Ah, so we'll get to that in a second. Give me a second for that. So, the however, say the shach in the Taz, the shach in Sivkat and Tez Zion, and the Taz in Sivkat and in Yud quote from the Esser V'Heter. The Esser V'Heter says Chayav. He says no. It's still called a Klei Suda since someone's using it for a Suda. That's called a Klei Suda, and it's Chayav in Tvila. And the Psak, the Shach, and the Taz is Yidbo B'li Bracha Misafid. So Allah Lamaisa, normally we would assume that if you actually had such a case, it's not so kosher to be making like the Kavan or Ramah here, because the Shach and the Taz are kosher to the Yisra Heter, and say to tovel it without a bracha. Now here's where it gets. They're referring to the case where the owner bought it for klafim, and I borrow it to use for food.
How can you
tovel
that?
I can tovel someone else's kli. I'll ask him for shus, Mama, yeah. What does he care if I tovel his kli? Doesn't hurt him if I tovel his kli. He doesn't mind if I tovel his kli. I'll ask him for shus.
Whatever. If he's allowing you to use it, he means to use it.
Yeah, and that's interesting. Someone lends me a kli. So what, he lends me a kli, I'm allowed to take it to my house, I'm allowed to take it to campgrounds, I'm allowed to take it to my car, but I'm not allowed to take it to a mikvah.
No.
I'm allowed to take it wherever I want, I borrowed it.
So
look,
the
shulam
the dinei sheila. You borrow something, you have no idea what's going to happen. And stam, a person who gives you a cane, and stam doesn't take
it for cane fire. Okay, so you have to. Okay, let's assume they're talking about a case where he let you bring it wherever you want. Let's assume. Okay, but we'll come back to that. It's a very good point. So, the one other kula that comes up here is the question of the Taz of Kut and Yud and the Pesachei Tshuva. Sifkatan test. This is a very fascinating case. What if this is a case? What's the case here? This is the case where the owner used it for cloughing. Right? Meaning, cloughing is lavdavka. It just means mamish and non food use. Right? The owner used it for something that has nothing to do with food. It's just like a stam tool for working. What if the following case, this is what the Pesachei Tshuva has gotten test quotes from the big kula of the Chayei Adam in the Binas Adam. Says the Chayei Adam, what if the owner bought it for resale? He has a store. He has a store where he sells Caleb. He sells forks and knives and spoons and pots and pans and glasses and bowls and trays and all kinds of metal and glass things. And then the borrower borrows it for food. So what if I borrow from a store? Again, I'm not talking about Choshen Mishpat. Nowadays, no store would let you borrow things because it would be Geneva. If then they sold it as new when it was already borrowed. But in the old days, people were less machmed. Sometimes the storekeeper would lend you some kelim if you're making a big shemar brachas, then you give it back to him and he'd sell them.
Or renting or
gemach. Or, okay, good. Renting or gemach, etc. Although one could certainly see a... renting or good. You can have the same thing, renting or gemach, although that's another step. So hold that thought. What if the owner owns it for resale? And the borrower borrows it to use for food. So, says the big chiddush of the Chachmas Adam in Chachmas Adam. Here goes the Bimas Adam. That's just the Chachmas itself in the footnote part when he went into tangents. He says, this is like the case where he bought it for non-food. It's not like he bought it for industrial non-food use. He just bought it to sell to people to use for food. It's not like he bought it, oh, it's not for food, it's for wood, it's for paper, it's for, you know, manufacturing. No, he bought it to sell in the houseware stores for people to bring to their kitchens. But still, since he didn't buy it to use, he just bought it to resell, therefore, big fish of the Chachmas Adam, that this is like Fluffin. It's a chiddush that it's like klafim, and since it's like klafim, therefore, and therefore, lefi the mechaber and the ramah, the borrower is potter. You could go to a store if you know the store owner, and let's say again, it's in the old days when the store owner could do this, and it wouldn't be considered ripping off the customers, it wouldn't be dishonest. To say, I'm making a big party, I'm making a big share of this that. Can I borrow a pot? Can I borrow a pan? Can I borrow some glasses? Can I borrow some silverware? And you can borrow them without totaling them. At least, said the Chachmas Adam, Yesh Makom Lahakel. If you're stuck, and it's a Makom half saved because you're afraid if you total them they might break and they're expensive, and it's glass is only Drabanan, and therefore Lemaisa, Hikel, is a Chuches, Ben Makom, Shash Hefsid. Since glass only drop on that, and since if you total all the glass, you might break something, you're talking that expensive crystal. Therefore, he said there's grounds to be mikil. It's a chiddush that someone who buys something for resale is considered not a food utensil, but a non-food utensil. Why? It's not like he's using it for non-food. He's just holding on to it to sell for use for food. So it's a chiddush. Nonetheless, the Chachmas Adam makes that chiddush. Shmuley wants to say, and we'll see further than that, wants to make an even bigger chiddush. Even a gemach or a kli rental company, that's considered like klafim. They bought it to rent and to lend. They didn't buy it to eat with. That's a big chiddush because they even intend, while it's theirs, to lend it to people to eat off. But maybe you can even extend the Bimas Adam. We'll see someone who extends even more than that. Say even a gemach or a rental company that rents out kelim, since they're not eating it, they're just renting it, maybe that's considered not a kli suda. They didn't buy it for food, although that would be a chiddush. Okay, but hold that thought. Now let's get on to the big $64,000 question. The $64,000 question, of course, is, what if you go to someone's house and they didn't total their kelim? Well, actually, before we get to that, let me quote the... in 1 second. I'm not going to read anything inside, so that would take too long. But in Makar number 12, you have a Tzitz Eliezer who quotes the Shevet Sofer. Who quotes the Shevet Sofer, and he says exactly what Shmuley said. He goes even a little further. Says the second chiddush, right? Old chiddush. Shel HaShevet Sofer. I believe the Shevet Sofer is the grandson of some Sofer, if I'm not mistaken, quoted in Makar number 12, is that even a rental company, you know who he was talking about? Only Zev and I remember this. Remember when you used to get seltzer? They deliver the seltzer in the glass bottles, and then you would give it back to them. Right? They were in the business of selling seltzer, but with the seltzer, they rented you or lent you the glass bottles. What? Or milk bottles, which I don't remember. I don't ever remember. I don't remember a milkman. You bought milk in disposable containers in the grocery. But you bought seltzer also, except my grandmother used to get seltzer from the seltzer company delivered in these glass spritz bottles like fire extinguishers. You can imagine what she thought the proper use of those bottles was and what we thought the proper use of those bottles was. But we were for sure right. But especially in the summer. But anyway, the Kiddush of Shevet Sofer is that even if the owner owns it for the sake of renting or lending to people who are going to eat it, and why is this a bigger Kiddush? Because he even intends for it to be eaten off while he's owning it, right? There's a company, they own these seltzer bottles, and they intend for you to eat from the seltzer bottles. Right? And then the borrower or renter obviously uses it to eat. He says this is still like Platin. This is still like the case of Platin, and therefore, since the owner didn't intend to himself eat off of it, it's not called a Kliksuda. This is a big Kiddush. What's the big Kiddush? This is the big Kiddush. What the Kiddush that Chassam Chachos on the Nuff is that Kliksuda means I intend, means used for eating in my possession. Right? But if I plan to sell it to someone else, that's not a Kliksuda. I'm not going to use it for eating. The Chiddush of Shevet Sofer is no. Kliksuda means used for eating by me. Only if I'm going to eat off it is Kliksuda. If I'm going to give it to other people to eat off of it, that's not called Kliksuda. That's a Kliskhora. And that's the chapter. This is called Kliskhora. That's their Kiddush. I just want to point out that the Shevet Sofer is going, in my humble opinion, much further than the Chachmas Adam. Chachmas Adam just says, if I never intend anyone to eat off of it as long as it's in my possession, that's a Kliskhora, not a Kliksuda. He says, even if I intend for my customers to eat from it, but I'm not personally eating from it, that's not called Kliksuda. Rav Avadya says, based on this, says the Darkei Tshuva, this is Mukher number 12, this is Mukher number 13, and Rav Avadya, he says, therefore, hotels and restaurants are mutter. It's mutter to eat in a hotel or restaurant where they didn't tovel their kalim. If I go on a shidduch date to the Hyatt in New York, I don't really know, I'm just making things up, and the Hyatt in New York happens to be owned by a Jew, and I go to the lobby and order a glass of Coke, I can drink from the glass even though it's owned by a Jew who didn't tovel his kalim, because it's not a Kliksuda, it's a Kliskhora. He's not eating from them, he's just using them in his business of hotel for the customers. It's a tremendous, tremendous Kiddush, but nonetheless, the Darkei Tshuva said, the Minhag Olam Svi Mikel, what did they have in those days? They had kiosks. You went to a kiosk and you bought from a Jew lemonade or some other drink in a glass, and you drank it from the glass and gave it back, and you walked out the glass to the next customer and you gave him a dollar. And he says, the Minhag is those Jews never totaled their glasses and we drink there anyway. Rav Avadya says, therefore, if you have a kosher restaurant where they don't total their kalim, or a kosher hotel where they don't total their kalim, or a treif restaurant or a hotel, but you just go in and drink a glass of Coke from non-totaled kalim, you can do that. It can be a bar owned by a non-firm Jew, and you get a glass of beer, and you drink, they serve it to you in a glass, and no problem with treifus. Nonetheless, it's not tovo, but says the Darkei Tshuva, the Minhag Olam Svi Mikel anyway, and Rav Avadya says you can be mako. Rav Moshe doesn't like it, but Rav Avadya says you can be mako. Yes. Rav Moshe, 1 second, which is Mukher 11, disagrees. He says, usser. Yes.
So
the Achronim, right, even if he occasionally eats there, that doesn't count because that's not the main use, which is another kula. Kula's like Agabi Kula's. This is really a big kula, this Svara, but a lot of, and Rav Moshe doesn't like it, but a lot, and Rav Shlomo Zalman also doesn't like it. Rav Shlomo Zalman also doesn't like it. I think that's in Mukher 14, maybe. If not, it should be. Yes. He says, Rav Shlomo Zalman, In 14 also says the bad svara. He doesn't like that svara at all. But nonetheless, Yeshama Lisvo, and a lot of our the svara in the Darkei Tshuva, the Munkacher says that the minhag olam in Europe was to be makel on this and drink from glasses at Jewish kiosks, so they didn't tovel their kelim. Ad hayom hazeh, in a lot of non-Mahadran restaurants and hotels, they don't require the owner to tovel their kelim because of this svara. Say, we'll give you to dat hechsher, even though you don't tovel your kelim, because of the svara of kli schora, even though a lot of people don't like the svara. Now. What?
If you go to a non-Jewish establishment, over to the pasha, okay, so you...
Yeah, non-Jewish establishment, pashut, okay. Correct, there's only Jewish establishments, this is an issue. If you go to a non-Jewish restaurant and have a glass of Coke, pashut mutter.
So you go to a Jewish bar or a non-Jewish bar, how do they go to the non-Jewish
bar? All else being equal. correct, if the patrons are the same and the TV is the same, etc., then yes. Okay, so this is a controversial heter, but we'll see that it's more complicated in a moment. But what if you go, let's go back to our question, the more chomer question. What if you go to a private house where you don't have this cool at all, right? The kelim in private house are more primarily for the owners and their family to eat of them. What if I go to the house of someone who's not from, I want to have a glass of water, or someone who's not so from and doesn't know about the halachas of tefilas kelim? Can I eat there? Sometimes someone asks me, says, my parents don't know about tefilas kelim. And I tried to tell them, I said, that's crazy, they'll all fall and break. Right? So can I eat in my parents' house? Even kosher food. Right? That's a chomer shayla. So this is a tremendous machlokes. What about a private house? Right in a restaurant, there's a tzav l'hakam. Rav Moshe doesn't like it, Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't like it, but Rav Avadya does like it, and Darkei Tshuva says the minhag olam is to be makel. Okay, in a private house, there's svaras to be makel. In a restaurant. But what about a private house? What about eating in a house where they didn't toivel, that's, I think we should call it toivel when we're writing in English, they're kelim. It's like makobel, say toivel, even if you normally don't pronounce that way.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Are you asking me
and mile.
They didn't, or
let's say you davka know they didn't. Not dam lechapschus. Let's say you know they didn't. How do you know they didn't? Either because they're not from, and obviously, like, you can't be dam lechapschus to say someone who, like, doesn't keep Shabbos and doesn't keep kashrus and is intermarried told with their kelim. That's obviously ridiculous. Or maybe they are from, but you happen to know they didn't told their kelim. Like, let's say you said, oh, you know about told with kelim? I said, no, that's ridiculous. We don't do that. That's a new Chumrah of the Month club that when I grew up, we never told with our kelim. So you know they didn't told with their kelim. So what do you do in that case? So, Hayud Dvarim Me'olam. So, Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe says, now, again, the food is kosher. It doesn't chafe up the food. I can cook chicken soup for a day and a half in a non-tovel pot. The chicken soup's still kosher. If I serve it to you in a plastic bowl with a plastic spoon, you're okay. But the problem is, what if I serve it to you in a bowl with a metal spoon? The soup's kosher, but you can't use the spoon, so what are you going to do? It would be very impolite to take the bowl and just drink the soup straight. You know, you make it on the bowl because it's just glazed, and right, William and Shepherd say it's okay, so you just drink out of the bowl. Lo holech kacha. So what do you do? So says Rav Moshe, the food is kosher, but how do you eat it and drink it? So says Rav Moshe, usher to use kelim to eat with. He says you're stuck. If they didn't tovel their kelim, they offer you a glass of water, you have to say, I'd rather have a paper cup. If they offer you a bowl of soup, you'd rather, or a bowl of Cheerios, you have to say, I'd rather have a plastic spoon. The one kula he has is if they give you a piece of cake on a metal plate, no, on a plastic plate, or the same thing, you can eat the cake off the, no, on a glass plate, you can eat the cake off the glass plate. Why? He says, you're not using the glass plate. You can eat it without the plate also. It just keeps their tablecloth clean. You're not using the plate. They're keeping their tablecloth clean. So he says, basically, if you have a dry thing on a glass bowl, if you have candy in a glass bowl, you can eat the candy. Because you're not using the glass bowl. It's just sitting there minding its own business. But if you're drinking, obviously you're using the glass. How could you drink without a glass? If you have a fork and knife and spoon, obviously you're using it.
Cool.
So therefore, what?
A straw out of the
even in a straw, because without the glass, if you took away the glass, the Coke would spill. If you had a candy dish, you took away the dish, the candy would be on the table. So that's a very minor kula. To use the kelim to eat with, also use the kelim to eat with, unless the kli is absolutely unnecessary. That's this minor, minor kula. If someone gives you a piece of cake on a glass plate, you can eat the cake off the glass plate, because you don't need the glass plate. It's just there to look nice. You could eat the cake just as well if it was on the table. But that's a very much, you still can't drink, you still can't use silverware. So basically, according to our Moshe, you're stuck. However, there are mekilim. There are two svaras lahakel. One is, that's Ramosha number 11, or whatever he said Ramosha was.
Yeah.
The two svaras lahakel. However, Shlomo Zalman, let's first do Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman says, and this is many other posts can also say that. And many other poskim. I don't mean to make him... He's probably even most poskim. I would say most poskim agree with Moshe. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, a chiddush. This is exactly what Zev was suggesting before. He says, mutter, why? Based on what I put last time in Rav Shefti, he says, it's not primarily an isser to use untobel dishes. It's primarily a chiddush to tobel your dishes. So he says, in the case of the Shofan Aruch, Zev notwithstanding, if I borrow a kli from someone, certainly in the old days, or I rent a kli, I can wash it and dunk it wherever I want. So I'm a chayiv to bring to the mikvah. But if I go to someone's house, can I possibly tovel their dishes? If I go to someone's house? No, it would be gzeila if I took the dishes out of the house, right? That would be like a Chafetz Chaim story if you didn't call the police. Of course I can't. Of course I can't take someone's dishes out of their house without permission. And same if I go to a restaurant. I can't take the dishes out without permission. So he basically says, I don't have bylaws to tovel. I don't have the right to tovel the kelim. Again, yeah, here it's subtle. If I'm just not able to tovel the kelim technically, because I don't have a car, because it's Shabbos, because there's no mikveh nearby, then it doesn't matter. I fundamentally have the right. But here, it's not just I don't have the ability to tovel them right here, right now. I don't have the right to tovel them ever. So he says, the case of Shulchan Aruch was if I have the right to tovel them. But in this case, I have no right to tovel them. Why? Because I'm not allowed to take people's things out of their houses without permission. That's Zeila. So therefore, I am not chayav to tovel them. And if I'm not chayav to tovel them, then I'm allowed to eat without toveling them, because it's really not an isser, it's really a chiyav. If you didn't do the chiyav, then you have an isser. But if I'm potter from the chiyav, I don't have an isser, and that's where Shlomo Zalman says that you have the right to be mako and eat in someone's house without toveling the dishes, because since you don't have the right to tovel them, the chiyav was never chal on you. In the shut base of the year for Libus from Chicago, he has a slightly different, but similar, but different svar. He says only the bailam are chayim tilas kelim. But a shoel and a socher is considered bailus. A shoel and a socher has bailus. However, that's if you actually rent or borrow and you're the bailam. But if you're in someone's house, you don't have any bailus over their kelim. You don't even borrow or rent their kelim. You're just using their kelim. It's a lumbus filler, but it's true. If I say, can I borrow your knife? I borrow your knife, I'm in charge of it until I have to give it back. If I go to your house and you put a knife on the table, I don't have bailus in this until I give it back. I have the right to use it at the table, and therefore the chiyuv wasn't chal on me. Similar, he just says, it's not based on whether I could or not, it's based on the fact that only the bailus are chayav, zeros and kasav. Okay, halacha l'maisa, most folks are like Rav Moshe, not like Rav Shlomo Zalman. However, the minhag of olam is to be naked like Rav Shlomo Zalman, and certainly the shas chak, one can be mako like Rav Shlomo Zalman, even if Shlomo b'shas chak, there would definitely be room to be matmir. If you don't want to insult someone, etc., then you can be mako like Rav Shlomo Zalman.
What Rav Shlomo Zalman is a good example you gave with a child and their parents' house.
So
that also do not have the right to do it.
Well, if your parents don't let you take the kelim, I mean, do you think parents would let their kids pack all their glass kelim into a car and take them to a mikvah? The stomach not. Right? They wouldn't call the police on them, but it still would be Gzela, so Gneva, so I think Rishon Mazalman would be Mako. So therefore, certainly no one saw that we can be Mako like Rishon Mazalman.
If you have your own kingdom.
What?
If you have your own
kingdom. No, Rishon Mazalman says it's just putter. Putter is putter. So again, I think
you're...
No. Either one, they say it's just halos p'tor. But Rosh Lomazam says it's a p'tor because it's a p'tor in this kli because I don't have the right to total it. The fact that I could buy a different kli doesn't change anything. This kli, I have no right to total, so I'm p'tor on this kli. The fact that I could total a different kli doesn't change it. Okay. This is a very big halachah ma'aseh inyan, but I think that's enough to be said for now. Okay, siftes. Mishkein, now this is something we don't have so much, like pawn shops, right? Mishkein overcome kli v'yisrael. If a guy pawned a kli to a Jew, this is a case in the Gemara. The Gemara says, imnira b'dasa overcome shirotzo l'shako b'yado ton tfila. If you can tell that the guy intends to leave it there forever, I don't know, no one here has probably ever owned a pawn shop. Right? It was a big business in the time that we showed it. Let's say some nice people bring something to a pawn shop. What does a pawn shop mean? It means that they bring you something worth $200. And what you do is you lend them $100. And if they don't pay it back in 6 months, in a year, and whatever the terms are, then you get to keep the thing. That's like a mashkon, it's the collateral. Right? And that's what sometimes poor people do. If they need money, then they don't want to part with something they really like. They bring it to a pawn shop, and at least they have a chance to redeem it. So if you could tell when the guy comes in, he doesn't want this. He doesn't want to redeem it. He's not parting with it reluctantly. He's just selling it. This is just his way of selling it. Hey, he doesn't have a secondhand flea market nearby, so instead he brings it to the pawn shop and he says, okay, I have 6 months to redeem it, but you could tell he doesn't want it back. Then, ton tefila, you have to tovel it because that's considered like yours. However, v'im lav, if you can't tell, you have to let him lo bracha, then it's an unresolved suffix. Then you tovel without a bracha. Oh, yiknikli apri apiling yimo, or always better than tovling without a bracha, is when you buy another kli, you just tovel it with that other kli, and then you're for sure yotzei all the deos. Now, the Rama adds, the im levasof nishtakeh v'yado, yachzor v'yafilenu below bracha. This is very logical, this Rama. He says, and what if in the end, he brought it for you, and it looks like he wanted you to keep it. It looks like he wanted to redeem it, perhaps. So, you told it without a bracha, and you used it. And then the time came, 12 months ended, and now it's worse forever, you didn't redeem it. You have to total it again without a bracha. Why? Because maybe you were yotzi the first time, but maybe you weren't yotzi the first time, because it still belonged to the guy. And therefore, since maybe you're yotzi the first time, you can't make a bracha now, maybe you weren't yotzi the first time, you have to make a bracha now, so you have to total it twice without a bracha. Okay, here we have a big machlokas, though, as to what the Gemara means. Okay, without getting into the Diyukim Lashon of the Gemara, Aaron? Without getting into the Diyukim Lashon of the Gemara, the question is, what's the suffix? What does it mean? If he intends to let you keep it, you tovel it with a bracha. If you don't see that he intends to let you keep it, you tovel it without a bracha. It's a suffix. What's the suffix? What's the suffix? Why? What's the basis of the suffix? Whether or not
who owns it, who it really belongs to at that point in time,
and what does that depend on? Is that a suffix in Tzias or a suffix in Din?
Din.
Aha. Good. So you agree with the Taz. This is a machlokas shach and Taz, and I'll show you the Nafkamina. Here is what if you can tell he doesn't plan to redeem it. Here is, you can't tell. And here's a third case. What if you can tell he does plan to redeem it? So here's the machlokes between the shach and the taz.
Does this have something to do with the name of Bapos?
Quite, perhaps, yes. I mean, but how? We'll see. Says the Taz agrees with Aizmatia. Taz says, in this case, Tovel with Bracha. Why? Because you bought it. He doesn't plan to redeem it. In this case, says the Taz, one second, Tovel without Bracha. Why? Because Safek, whether Mashkon counts as ownership. It's a suffix whether a mashkon counts as ownership or not. Right? After all, there's the Indian of Balchov Kona Mashkon, but it doesn't mean you're the total owner. So it's a suffix if he intends to leave with you forever. He left with you forever. But if you really, you don't know what he intends, it's just a mashkon. So it's a suffix whether a mashkon counts as owning or not. Therefore, what should the Taz say if you can tell the dust plan to redeem it? What should you do? You can tell he plans to redeem it in 11 months. Do you have to tovel it or not? Says the Taz, yes. Tovel without a bracha. Why? Because still a mashkum, it's a suffix whether a mashkum counts as ownership or not. Right? Because suffix whether a mashkum counts as ownership. After all, as Zev says, Balkov kona mashkum. Right? Okay, it's complicated whether from a guy or not. Therefore, it's a suffix whether a pawnbroker counts as an owner or not. The Shach looks at it differently. Says the Shach, Tova without a bracha, so far is just the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara. Why? Because suffix if he plans to redeem it or not. You're not sure if he plans to redeem it or not. But if he didn't plan to redeem it, for sure you wouldn't count as an owner. Just Mashkon is definitely not ownership. This, what's the suffix of the Shulchan Aruch? The Taz says the suffix in Din. Does collateral count as property? Okay, it's a suffix in Din. Whether it plans to redeem it or you don't know. Here he says, no, this is a suffix in Mitzios. You don't know if he really means to borrow money or to sell his item. But if you knew, Mashkum doesn't count as ownership. So here he says, Potter, if you know that he plans to redeem it, it's Potter, because for sure Mashkum doesn't count as ownership. Okay, how to pass this Machlokas Shachan Taz is not necessarily so crucial, because it doesn't come up a lot nowadays. There's a strange Shachan of Katan Chaf, which all the Achronim reject and have a lot of trouble with. that there's this really very peculiar Esver Hector that says that if you told it once misafik, and then you liked it so much you paid the guy off to let you keep it early, then you tovel again with a bracha, because your first toveling was for sure not having in mind you would later pay him off. Why that's relevant is unclear. The mice is a strange shocks have gotten huff. All the Achronim say they can't make any sense of it. They ignore it. Okay. The there's also perspective. Okay, let's go on to Yud. Yud. Yisrael Shinosan Kesef. Okay. Yisrael Shinosan Kesef, Lumino become lasos long and clean, ain't no tsarach tvila. If a Jew gives metal to a goyish craftsman to make him a kli out of it, and the goy makes a kli, doesn't need tvila, meaning it's the Jewish material, and a goyish craftsman, it doesn't need tefillah, because it belongs to the Jew. Okay, what's the havamina that it does need tefillah? Uman kona v'shevach kli. We paskin, we seem to paskin in Kosher Mishpat, uman kona v'shevach kli. A craftsman acquires ownership for his work in the kli. So you might think the guy acquired the kli with his craftsmanship. Uman kona v'shevach kli. Not a crazy svara. So, what about this case? What about this case of, you know, Kesef Shel Yisrael V'uman Goy? So, say Tosfos and the Rush, they say, even though Uman Kone B'Shvach Kli, this is Tosfos already, has this Ha'ora on the Dachin of Uzara. He says, even if the Uman is Kona B'Shvach Kli, that doesn't make a difference. Because we don't care who actually has ownership rights. We care, like the case of Kli Midyan, who it's called. Who it's attributed to. Nick or Shmoelov. Who it looks like the owner. And clearly in this case, even if Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, we all know the Jew is the owner. If I give something to a craftsman and he makes something out of it, we know it's mine. Therefore, it's Potter. Because lo nikra shame hagoy alav. He might have acquired a right in it, have acquired a partnership in it through Uman Kono Shvach Kli, but it's not called his. And therefore, there's a new gedder. That's the tricky part about Kof Kof. There's all these new gedderim. We don't care who actually owned it in Chosh Mish, but we care whose name is called on it. And it's not called the Goyish Kli, it's called the Jewish Kli. Big Kiddush of Tosfos and the Rush. The Ritzvah, according to... What? I don't think so. The Ritzvah, according to the Torah, according to everyone but the Bach. The Bach says he meant something else. But according to everyone else, what does he say? He says no. Chayav, because Uman Kone Bishvach Kli. Chayav, because no, now the guy has a partial ownership, even if the guy only gets a partial ownership. Obviously, Uman Kone Bishvach Kli doesn't mean he owns the whole thing. That wouldn't be fair. Didn't I supply the silver? It means he has a partial ownership. Still, if something's partially owned by a guy, and then I buy it from him and I pay him, I now have to tovel it. That's the rule. If you buy something from a partnership of a guy, you also have to tovel it. And therefore, I have to tovel it. And that's what the Rambam says. V'yesh cholkin, v'yesh l'tov lo v'lo bracha. Paskins the mechaber l'kula. Paskins the Rambam. Yesh l'tov lo v'lo bracha. Misafik. Okay, so he's misafik on this Indian. The let's continue and see some other cases. Next case, the mixas hakesef shenasim yenu aklishal ovi kochavim tsarich tvila. Here's the second case. What if the uman is a guy and the kesef is Mitzah shel goy, rov shel yisrael. Meaning, you give him silver, but it's not enough silver. So he also uses some of his own silver to make the kli. So that's obviously more goyish, right? So in this case, says the Rama, it's chayav in tvila. Chayav in tvila. Yes?
Can you read the
idea
that you read at the beginning?
And the non-Jew makes the kli and gives it back to the Jew.
Why is it Ein Tzar?
Tvila, because it was never a goyish kli.
Is this Ein Tzar tvila? Oh, because
it was never a non-Jewish kli. Then he gives it back to you, right? You pay him $100 for the job. You say, here, make this silver into a kli for me. He says, that'll cost you $50. Great. You come, you give him the $50, he gives you the kli. Says the Ritzvah, hold on a second. He owned part of this kli because he worked on it. Now you're buying his share of the kli for $50, you're chayav tvila. But says the Ritzvah, no, it was never called his kli. You're not chayav tvila. Now you're with him. Okay, what about this case? This is all talking about where he then gives it to the Jew, of course, right?
Yeah,
so what about this case? Says the Ramah, chayav. However, why is this chayav? Remember, the Ramah is mesopic whether we care about the Uman Kone Bishvach Kli. Or we care about the materials. So maybe we should care about the materials, and Rove is the Jews, so maybe it should be Potter. So here you have a big machlokes. What's the machlokes? Says the Taz, Chayav B'li Bracha. Why? Because the metal was Rove the Jews. And therefore, the metal is the Jews, the work of the guys, that's a suffix. However, Shah of the Ramah is clearly not like that. He just says chayav, right? However, Shah of the Ramah is chayav bibracha. Why? Are you chayav bibracha? So there seem to be two pshats in here. Why you're chayav bibracha? And don't say, because without the goy's kli, it wouldn't have worked, and the goy's a mamid, because we're not sure if we go after the mamid here. So, anyway, the lemaisa, the gra says, the gra says, because the metal is a shutfus. The metal is a shutfus. If he supplies some metal, that's shutfus. And therefore, if you buy from a shutfus, you're chayav to tovel with a bracha. That's the rule. If you buy for shutfus, that's how we make a bracha when we buy from corporations. Most corporations are shutfus. You buy, you're chayav tovel with a bracha. Metal is shutfus, and if you buy from a shutfus, you tovel with a bracha. The Shach later on seems to explain it a little differently, The Shach says that Uman plus Miktsas Mateches equals Vadai Shmo Olav. Whoever does the work and supplies part of the material, I'm adding a little few words in Hesper and Shach. If you do the work and supply the material, then that's such a strong involvement that it's for sure called more yours than anyone else's, and therefore you're for sure chayiv. So Halach L'maisa in this case, where the going did the work and supplied a little of the material, the Taz would still say suffik. Maybe you go by the material, which is mostly Jewish, maybe you go by the work, which is goyish. The Gra says no, you're for sure chayiv, because even the material is shukvas. And the Shach says a different reason why you're for sure chayiv. Because if someone did the work and supplied a little of the material, it's quality. Okay. Continuing the Ramah, he says, what about the other way around? What about if it's a goyish metal and a Jewish worker? Well, hold on, he gives it to the guy, who cares? No, and then the guy says, here's silver, make me a becher. I make the becher, and I love it so much, I tell the guy, I know I made it to give to you, but I like it, so can I buy it for you, and you buy it from him. So what's the case? What's the rule in that case? We get this already? Aaron? So, now let's briefly go through the other cases. What if you have a case, now keep in mind, let me ask you a trick question. You ready for a trick question? No, it's not, because I told you. What's that lach if the guy gives you metal to make a kli, and you make the kli, then you go back to him and he sells it to a Jew? Does the Jew have to tovel it or not? Obviously the Jew has to tovel it, because it was totally owned by a guy in between. That's not a suffix. If a Jew sells it to a guy, the guy sells it to a Jew, you're for sure chayiv. It was owned by a guy in between. This suffix is the following case. He gives me metal, I make it into a kli, and I never give him back the kli. I buy it off him before I ever give it to him. That's the case the Rama is dealing with. I never give it to him. So if I never give the kli to a guy, again, I think these things don't happen a lot, so maybe we'll just briefly go over this Rama without being eyeing it too much, because we don't have extra time left. But what does he say? What if you have, third case, Mateches shel goy and an Uman Yisrael, and you never give the kli to the goy. You buy it from him as soon as it's made. It's in my shop, I'm the Uman, and I buy it from him right away. So, what do you do in this case? So the Rama says, Yat bilenu gam kein b'lo brachim over kachavim nasan kol ha-matchot. Says the Rama, Yapi Lenu below Bracha Y. Same suffix. If maybe you go by the matzah, it's the same as this. Maybe you go by the material, maybe you go by the workmanship. And therefore, you tovel without a bracha. Last case. Okay, we brought some eon here, but we won't get into it. Now, is what if the mateches is Rubo Shel Goy, Umiktas Shel Yisrael? It seems like the opposite of two, right? And it's an Uman Yisrael. So what did the Rama say? Says the Rama, Avolim Asola Atzma Raksha Chanam Atzman Ovis Chavim. This is obvious. If you make your own kli, you just buy the raw metal from a guy, plus your potter, a Jew made the kli. Oshin Asa Mixas Matos Mishalo, or no, you make it for him, with mostly his metal, but you add a little metal, Eino Tzar Tvila, says the Rama. Potter doesn't need tefillah. what does he mean by this? Why are you Potter? So here, it is the same l'shitase. Right? The Taz says, Yipo b'li bracha. Right? The Taz says, Yipo b'li bracha, that's l'shitase. Basically, people here are pretty lishitasa. Here's the Rama, and here's the Rama. Here's the Taz,
And here's the Taz. Why?
Because the Taz says you go by rove of the material. Rove of the material belongs to a guy. So the material is a guy, the workmanship is a Jew, that's a suffix.
However, the shah, he is a havamim. I'm not going to have him in the shah. Just a maskot. So shah, he says I have one shah and then I have another shah and that's acre. Maskot, so shah is there. Potter legamre, why? Why is he potter legamre?
He says,
because Yisrael Asa'o, hey, the mitzvah is going to show molding into our tefillah. Again, I'm adding a little to the shach. This is the shach, the shitase. The shach says, you know what? If you have the work plus some of the metal, that's called yours. Right? Because the work plus mitzvahs of the material equals, and here I'm adding, he doesn't say what, but probably equals shmo love. That's called yours. That's what you understand the shach. And therefore, you are Pater Legambre. Okay, these things don't happen all the time. What does happen all the time, though I'll mention, is the discussion in the Pesach Chuvus of Katan Yud Beis, quoting the Chafos Adam. What if you have a factory? What if a Jew has a factory with Goyish workers? Or a Goy has a factory with Jewish workers? So here's a great question. What if a Jew owns a factory with Goyish workers? Right? Who might we ask this question to? Maybe I'll ask this question to Isaac. What about a Jewish factory and Gentile workers? What would you compare this to? 1, 2, 3, or 4, Roman numeral. Jewish factory, Gentile workers.
One.
Right? A Jew's materials is his factory. He buys all the raw materials, right? He owns the whole factory. He owns the tools, he owns the materials, but the Gentile workers. So according to that, if you're Ashkenazic, you should have to tovel without a bracha. Right? And that's what Venus Adam says, like, it seems like one, which means Yitbo B'li Bracha. However, if you look in the, sorry, in the Chelkas Binyamin, quoting the later Achronim, or in the Sefer Tfilas Kalim, the Van Be Poskim say, but the Poskim say, Potter. Why? And it's not like one. Why is it not like one? Who knows a little about Matzia, or could tell me why a Jewish factory with Goyish workers is not the same as the case that Rama and Mechaber talked about? What? Exactly! There's only an Uman is called a Mishavakli. An Uman means an independent craftsman. Right? An Uman means independent craftsman, like a shoemaker is an Uman. He has his own store, he gets paid by the job, he works for himself, right? An Uman, file Schedule C, right? You give him a 1099 miscellaneous, not a W-2. Right? An Uman works for himself in a business, you're a customer. In a factory, the people working there are an Uman, and an Uman is called Mishavach Kli. But if you look at Choshe Mishpat, what does that mean? If I bring my shoes to the shoemaker who fixes my shoes is Kona. If I bring my watch to the watch repair shop, the watchmaker is Kona. If I bring my whatever it is. But that's because this guy works for himself. He's a businessman. He has his own business. But if I hire a worker, that worker's not Kona Mishavach Kli. If I hire a worker, I'm paying them by the hour. All their labor belongs to me. They're not Kona anything. That's the difference between a poel and an uman, or a poel and a kablan. And therefore, the post can say, potter, because there's no uman, or because a poel ain't no kone bishvach kli. A poel, a salaried worker, doesn't kone the kli, only an independently employed craftsman does. And therefore, if a Jew has a factory, and he buys the metal, and he pays an hourly or daily or weekly wage to the workers there, like normal workers, right, to work in this factory, even if they're goyim, then what's being made there is a purely Jewish kli, and you're potter from tefillah. This is, I believe, how the Eda Haredis does in their aluminum pans. The Eda Haredis aluminum pans, they say, are potter from tefillah, because what they do is they arrange that instead of the normal way of getting things from China, which is you just contract as an independent craftsman that says, sell me these things and I'll send you money. What they do is they arrange that the Jew makes a kinyan and buys all the raw aluminum, and the Jew pays the salary of the workers,
And therefore, if it's the Jewish material that the Jews paying the salary of the workers, then it's a Jewish kli and it's potter from tefillah. So if you wanted to produce kalim in China, potter from tefillah, you could. Just instead of ordering things from China like a normal business transaction of buying and selling, you should call up the guy in China and pay him a little extra and say, I want to buy the raw material before it enters your factory. And I want to pay the workers in the factory myself. And then it will be Jewish kalim.
Seems like we have three factors here. Number one, who the material belongs to. Number two, who did the work. And number three, who the work belongs to.
Exactly. That's the chiddush. Who did the work is not important. It's who the work belongs to. That's important.
But why is that more important than who actually did the work?
Because it's a matter of whose kli it is. And doing the work doesn't make it your kli. Only owning the work makes it your kli.
But if it doesn't matter who kli it is, then it should belong. It should matter who owns the materials.
No, because uman kona b'shvach kli. Because if a worker is an independent craftsman, then he owns his work. He doesn't just get paid for his work. He owns his work. That's the difference between an uman and a poel.
According to what we said at the beginning of the Tosafot in the Rosh, it says that what's kovei as the material. So then, in the case of the lama brings on that from the possibility of poel, where he said,
I would think so. Although, in which case, no. Konamatos, as long as he bought the matechas from the goy before he started working on it, then it's a Jewish matechas by the time he makes it into a kli. That's fine. Everyone agrees if I buy raw materials from a goy and they belong to me before I start working, then that's mutter. That's pacha. Okay. Now let's briefly go through a few more details in the rest. Yud Aleph. Yisrael shemacher kli la'ovikachavim v'chazer v'lachom imenu, a Jew who sells a kli to a guy and then buys it back from him. What's the chiddush? Even if it started out Jewish, so I sell it to a guy and buy it back, tzarech tevila, I have to tovel it with a bracha. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes, based on this, from all the Achronim, he says, therefore, what should you not do at Pesach time? You shouldn't sell your chametz to kelim to a guy in the chiras chametz, because then when you buy them back, you'll have to tovel them. And that's why, if you look at the stories of the chiras chametz nowadays, they never say we sell our chametz to kelim to a guy. They just say we sell any chametz stuck to the kelim or any chametz in or around the kelim to a guy. But the kelim themselves, you don't sell to a guy, because then we would have to total them. You know, and even though some Achronim say this, no one wants to have a chutzpah of saying, no, that doesn't count as the name of the goy being on it, because we all know Mechiras Chametz is just a joke, because then they're going to do more harm than good, and therefore we're makbid not to sell our kalim to a guy. Okay, continuing. Aval in Mishkan of Yad v'Chazer v'Tor Menu Ingen Sarach Tzvila. But if you just pawn your kli to a guy and go back and redeem it, then you don't need to tovel it. And there's a big machlokas, but that's going to be achronim, is that it's the same as the other way around, meaning it's machlokas. But the Shach paskins that, without getting into details, this means if I plan to redeem it the whole time. If I plan to redeem it the whole time and I buy it back, I don't have to tovel it. However, if I originally planned to leave it with him forever and then changed my mind and bought it back, then I'd have to tovel it because I originally planned to leave it with him forever, but that's a big machlokas in the Shach. And Yisrael va'ovikam shakanu kli b'shutfas. If a Jew and a guy own something b'shutfas, ain't tzarech tefila. Doesn't need tefila. Here is very important not to get confused about this. Kli b'shutfas Yisrael v'goy is pater. So if a kli belongs to a corporation that's owned by Jews and goyim, it's pater from tefila. Assuming the corporation is a shutfas, which Zev will disagree with, but let's assume. However, adds the Shach very crucially in Chavag, says, but, adds the Shach, if a Jew bought it from them, then it's Chayev. What's the rule? The reason they explain is because if something's owned by Shufa's Jew and Guy, you can't take it out of the tomb of the Guy and give it to the Jew. It's still partially owned by a Guy. Whatever's partially owned by a Guy is tomb of a Guy. Therefore, you're potter from totaling. But if a Jew buys the whole thing, either there's a corporation by many stockholders of all religions, races, and ethnicities, and I buy a kli from them, now it's totally Jewish, I'm Chayev. Or if I have a partnership with a Guy and I buy him out of the partnership and I buy all the shares of the partnership, now I'm Chayev Tzvila with a bracha. That's what we assume. if you, as long as it has shutfas of goyim, it's potter, because it's tummy anyway. But once a Jew buys it from the shutfas, it's chayiv. That's why nowadays, if you buy something from a corporation, even though every corporation is a shutfas of Jews and goyim, once you buy it, now it's only Jewish, you tovel it with a bracha, and that's the menag olam. Continuing, Yisrael in the Rambah, Yisrael shagun vo gazel menu kli vehzirlo ein tzarich tvila. If the goyim stole a kli from you and you got it back, you don't need to tovel it. Aval saru mo shall shagun su Yisrael v'lach v'kelev hukzirlo tzarich tvila. But a goyish ruler in the old days, or even nowadays, if you're in Russia or something, who took your kelim and then you were lucky and he gave them back, you do need to tovel it because it was already settled in his hands. What's the difference between a thief and a thief who's in charge of a ruler in your society? What's the difference between a regular thief and a thief who's, you know, a minister in the government? Yeah. The difference is, so here it's a bit of a machlokes, the Shach brings down two opinions. One day is that the difference is yeyosh. If a stam thief steals something, I don't have yeyosh, so it's still mine. But if the government thief steals it from me, again, he doesn't mean legitimate taxes. He means like in Russia or some Korea or some North Korea or someplace where they just do whatever they want. Then I have yeyosh because you can't fight the ruler; he'll kill you, and that's the difference. The Shach himself paskins differently. He says no. The difference is this: if a stam thief steals something, it's not called his because he can't admit in public that he has it. So it's not called his. But if the ruler steals something from me, he can show it off in public, and he's not embarrassed, and he's not afraid of anyone, so it's called his. That's basically the difference between the two opinions. The first opinion, the Bosch says, we go by Choshe Mishpat, yeyosh. We go by yeyosh.
It's not only yeyosh, it's a question of can you make
the law. Okay, that's an interesting question. So the simple shot is, again, let's just review. The Bosch says, a regular gun, if I don't have yeyosh, a ruler, a feudal lord or something, I do have yeyosh. The Shach says, no, over here it doesn't matter who owns it, it matters whose name is called on it. A thief, it's not called his, because he's afraid to admit that he owns it, because then he'll get caught. But a ruler, it's called his, so he's not afraid of anyone. He admits that he has it. And he shows it off, and he says, look what I just got. And therefore, it's called his. Okay, Yud Bein, Tzarech L'Havir L'Yedei HaKli, you have to tovel even the handle. Yud Gimel, Tzarech L'Havir Chaluda Kodem Tefila. You have to take off the rust or any other chatzitza, any other dirt or foreign matter before you tovel it. Just like when a person tovels or a woman tovels, there's a lot of halachas about removing chatzitza. When you tovel kli, you have to remove chatzitzas. Most of those halachas can be found in your Deus and Reish Beis in Hilchos Mikvos. Then lo hever, what's the rule if you didn't take off the chatzitzas? In makrul of chotzeitz. That's the rule of chatzitzas. Miot, if there's a chatzitza on the minority of an object, if you're makrul, if you don't want it there, if it's not good to have it there, then it's a chatzitza. But if you don't mind it being there, if it's okay for it to be there, it's not a chatzitza. So b'dieved, if you tovel the kli, and it has some dirt on it, or some sticker on it, if it's something you mind, then it's a chatzitza. And you have to take it off and tovel it again. So most stickers nowadays are things that the balabost of the house minds the sticker being there, like a price tag or made in China. Most women would say, I want to take that off. It doesn't look nice to have that sticker. Therefore, if you tovel it with a sticker, it's a chatzitza. However, if there would be a kind of sticker or dirt that no one minds having there, then it would not be chatzitza. It goes without saying, if there's a sticker with instructions how to use the kli, of course that's not a chatzitza. That's part of the kli, right? That's necessary for the kli, that's pashut. But if you have like a price tag or made in China, the stam made in China's, most women would say, it looks ugly with that, I have to take it off, it's pasnish to have that on my kli. That's called makbid, like you're upset that it's there. If you're upset that it's there, it's not bottled the kli, and it's a chatzitza and it passels the tefillah. By many people, they tovel something, then discover a sticker, they have to go back and tovel it again, because their wife minds that sticker. But if you would have a sticker that no one minds at all, let's say you have a sticker that's like on the bottom where no one can see in the kli, and most people just leave it there and don't care, then, if you left that sticker, it wouldn't passel your tefillah.
The problem with the Madrei Kot today is that the glue doesn't come off. And that's
good. Once you take off the sticker and there's glue, everyone minds having the glue there. That for sure looks silly.
Exactly.
And therefore,
the opposite. You don't see it. When you take off the matzah,
okay,
and wash it 25 times, there will be glue left. That's not
well, you have to use Goo Gone.
You don't have to because nobody's marked it.
Okay. Anyway, I think everyone should ask their wife or their mother, or ask their wife and their mother-in-law, and take best of three. But lemaise, I think most stickers or glue from stickers nowadays most housewives are makbid on, and therefore would be a problem, but each taste has to be judged separately. If you scrub something and you try to burn off the rust, there's a little rust left that you couldn't remove, have miyut, shing a makbid, then it's just a little that you're not makbid. Obviously, if you can't remove it at all, you're not makbid. And therefore, ain't no chotze, it's not a chatzitza. So sometimes someone gets, let's say, a used grill, and they try to clean it, but you can't totally clean it. There's a little gook left that no one minds being there, because that's the way a used grill looks. Then it's not ma'akeh.
That's what happens with the ma'akeh.
Okay. Yes, if there's stuff you can't get off, obviously people don't mind if you can't get it off anyway, but lani is ma'akeh. I think a lot of this stuff you can get off, you just need to use the right cleanser. Okay, start from it. Yodalit. Eim aminim katan al tfilas kelim. This is a big inyan. Do you trust a katan for tfilas kelim? What's the issue? Ooh, I see it's getting a little...
What does that do with trust?
Ah, the issue is this. Who is in philosophy shiur today? Does a katan and the manas in halacha?
For drabbanas.
For drabbanas, yes. For derises, no. Is tfilas kelim derises or drabbanas? That's what Zeb is referring to.
No, I'm starting before that.
Okay.
Tfilah is a maisa.
Okay, we'll get there. So, but b'dikas chametz, the maisa, and we believe katanim. Okay, fair enough. We'll get that. What? Anyway, let me start, before we get to what Zeb says, let me start with the Rishonim. Rove Rishonim holds Tvila is the Raisa, the Chazal, Darshan, and the Zara at the end of the second for themselves. However, Ramban Torah says, he's always a big Pashtun, the Ramban. He's not famous as a Pashtun. But, like even Ezra, but he's a very big Pashtun, he says, I think Pshat in the Psukim is that they're not referring to Tfilas Kelim. I think Pshat in the Psukim is referring to regular Tum Vatara. I think Tfilas Kelim might just be Drabbanan and Asmachta. So in Baal HaTorah says Drabbanan, and the Rambam famously says Tfilas Kelim is Bidibri Sofrim. When the Rambam says Dibri Sofrim, it always becomes a little confusing what it means, but certainly the one might think it means Drabbanan. So who says it's Drabbanan? The Rabban al Torah, and maybe the Ramban. He certainly sounds like that at first glance. He says Dibri Sofrim. Who says it's the Oraisa? The other Rishonim. If you look at this Yosef here, you'll see what's the Nafkamina. Nafkamina is, can you trust the Katan? Can you trust the Katan? In Drabbanans, you could trust the Katan, but in Doraisas, a Katan's possible Eidos, only a Gogol's believed. So, what do we paskin? Ein maminim katan al tfilas kelim. We don't believe a katan for tfilas kelim because we paskin tfilas kelim is doraisa. However, then Zev threw in another factor, which Rabbi Kiva Eger brings up here, and the Piskei Tshuva. What's the other factor? The other factor is, hold on, if that's the logic, the reason we don't believe a katan is because it's doraisa, then we shouldn't believe a katan to tovel silverware. But, finish my sentence. We should trust the cotton to total glass. Glass is for sure drabanan. So do we trust the cotton to total glass? That is a machlokes achronim here. The Magen Avraham, and quoted in Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Mishnah, what about Zechuchis? The Magen Avraham and the Mishnah are mashma. They're talking about Bidos Chametz. But Neman, I'm pleased of Chuchis, it's only Drabbanan. However, the Piskei Tshuva quotes a Primegadim. Primegadim is Machmir because of Cheskes Isser. He says, no, maybe we only trust the Katan and Drabbanan when there's no Cheskes Isser. Here there's Cheskes Isser. It definitely started out untold, so it's Cheskes Isser. So therefore, he's choshish la'achmir, that maybe even drabbanans we don't trust the katan if there's cheskes iser. The Magen Avraham Mishabur don't sound like that, because they say even if you know there is chametz in a house, you trust the katan to say he cleaned off the chametz. And Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes here, from based on the Tosos and Erevin, Erevin is machmir because it's not his kli. Meaning he suggests we only trust the katan and the rabbanans when it's the katan's item. But when it's not the katan's item, we don't. Now you'll ask how that matches up with all the sugyas. You have to look at the Tosfos and Erevin. Halacha lemaisa, trusting a katan for kli zechuchis is not so pashut. because the Prim Gadim says maybe even if you're a bonnet, you shouldn't trust him, because it's Cheskes Esser. And the Rabbi Kiva Eger points out from the Tosfos at Eruvin that maybe we shouldn't trust him on your kli, only on his own kelim. And since usually Ketanim don't have their own kelim, it's not so lemaisa. However, the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham sound like we would trust him. They say if Zev's house had chametz in it, and the Kotan said he cleaned it, we trust him, even though it's Zev's house and even though there's a Cheskes chametz. So therefore, halacha lemaisa.
That's the
Pashat
Shabbat
Gemara. And therefore, that's the Pashat Shabbat Gemara. Halacha lemaisa, not so clear. Therefore, there's definitely room to be made, if you have to trust a katan for tovelin glass. But, lechatchila, it would be better to just send a gadol to check on the tovelin glass, and then you don't get into a machlokes. Even though the Mishnah Berurah sounds like he's made
them.
Right. So for sure, for metal poshut. Yes. I see the hour is late, so we're going to have to stop. We're almost finished. So close, we can taste victory. But we'll have to finish up. We're in the middle of Yudalit, because there's no point learning this to be Brahma and Yudalit without learning Tesvav. Yudalit, Tesvav, Teszayin. And on Sunday, we'll pick up with Simon Kuf Kuf Aleph. We don't have that much more time. We're going to have to go as quick as we can. What Sunday? Oh, what a terrible Xer of the Sutton. We have three more Simon. Kuf Kuf Aleph.
We finished the Simon now.
Tufnun Aleph and Tufnun Beis. We will get as far as we can. What's today's date, anyone? Anyone know about your dates?
It's the 19th.
So the next year will be the 26th. When will be a show?